will do 24 responsibly. Vasudeva Sankarsana Pradyumna Purusha Swayam Aniruddhaiti Brahman Murti Vyobhidiyate. Vasudev, Sankarsan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha are the names of the direct personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Brahmana, Shaunaka. Sa Vishvas Tejasa Pragyas Turya Iti Vrittibhi Arthendriya Shaya Jnaner Bhagavan Paribhavyate. One can conceive of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the terms of awakened consciousness, sleep, and deep sleep, which function respectively through external objects, the mind and material intelligence, and also in terms of the fourth transcendental level of consciousness, which is characterized by pure transcendental knowledge. Ango pangayona kalper Bhagavan stat chatushtayam bibharti sma chaturmurti Bhagavan Hari Ishvara. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Hari, thus appears in four personal expansions, each exhibiting major limbs, minor limbs, weapons, and ornaments. Through these distinct features, the Lord maintains the four phases of existence. Purport. The Lord's spiritual body, weapons, ornaments, and associates are all pure transcendental existence, identical with Him. So we'll do number 24 responsively. Now this verse has 15 syllables, which is different than the Govindam prayers, which has 14 syllables. So either we could just chant this and tweak it and put it with the 14 syllable Govindam prayers, which I had a hard time doing, trying to figure it out. So I don't know if one of you Vaishnavas there could do that. Or it's a 15 syllable and it goes with what, you know, yesterday Pani Bhushan Prabhu was saying, the song that Dravida Prabhu wrote, May Shri Radhika give us service of your lotus feet or something like that. So it goes with that Sanskrit prayer. Mayam Atma Pada Padma Dasya Dasta Radhika. So that's a difficult one, but we could do with that. But if somebody is good enough, would like to try with the Govindam, or you just tell me what to do. You want to try with the Govindam? Okay.
Dvija Rishabha Shesha Brahma Yoni Swayam Drek. Swamahima paripurno maya yacha swayaitat. Svijati harati pati yakya yana vrithaksho. Svijati harati pati yakya yana vrithaksho. Vivritta iva nirukasta parayar atmalavya. Vivritta iva nirukasta paray atmalabhya.
Okay. Very good. Nobody else wants to do it? Oh, come on, Devyanga Prabhu. Try. Nobody else? Oh, that's sad. Okay. Let's just do word then. Dvija Rishabha, O best of the Brahmins, Sa Esha, he alone, Brahma Yoni, the source of the Vedas, Swayam Drik, who is self-illuminating, Swa Mahima, in his own glory, Paripurna, perfectly complete, Mayaya, by the material energy, Cha, and Swaya, his own, Etat, this universe, Srijati, he creates, Harati, he withdraws, Pati, he maintains, Iti Akhyaya, conceived of as such. Anavrita, uncovered. Akshaha, his transcendental awareness. Vivrita, materially divided. Iva, as if. Nirukta, described. Tatparai, by those who are devoted to him. Atma, as their very soul. labhya, realizable. Translation. O best of the Brahmanas, he alone is self-luminous, original source of the Vedas, perfect and complete in his own glory. By his material energy, he creates, destroys, and maintains this entire universe because he is the performer of various material functions. He is sometimes described as materially divided, yet he always remains transcendentally situated in pure knowledge. Those who are dedicated to him in devotion can realize him to be their true soul. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur recommends that we become humble by practicing the following meditation. The earth, which is always visible to me, is the expansion of the lotus feet of my Lord, who is always to be meditated upon. All moving and non-moving living beings have taken shelter of the earth and are thus sheltered at the lotus feet of my Lord. For this reason, I should respect every living being and not envy anyone. In fact, all living entities constitute the Kaustubha gem on my Lord's chest. Therefore, I should never envy or deride any living entity. By practicing this meditation, one can achieve success in life. Nama Om Shivaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutaleshwara Te Bhaktivedanta Swami Kanami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Nirvasesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Adhikatami Vancha Kalpati Vibhichati Pasundi Bhichati Tanam Bhavani Bhivashi. So the first three verses and then the last verse. So the first three verses are basically, it's a continuation of explaining about Kriya Yoga, how to meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead in a different form, Mahapurusha form. And so here, is describing that in wakeful consciousness, or in sleep, or in deep sleep, one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. And then Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, they can be seen in the first three, and the words here are Vishvas, Tejas, and Pragyas. Generally, we see Prabhupada using the terms Jagrat, Swapna, and Sushupti. So those are different state of one's consciousness. In awake, when we awake, our limbs, our mind, our body, they're all acting. Whereas in when we're sleeping, in a dream state, our body is not acting, but our mind is acting. And then in deep sleep, our mind is also not acting. So in all those three stages, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha, they're represented by them. To be honest, I don't know what I'm talking here, but I'm just kind of repeating what it says here, or my understanding. But I do know that Vasudev, he's represents the Turiya state, which is beyond the wake, dreaming, and sleep state. He's beyond that. That's characterized by pure knowledge. So basically here, Suta Goswami is telling the Shaunaka and all the other sages that this is how we can remember the Lord in all different states, even in wake, sleep, dream, and deep sleep state. In the verse 24, he's kind of like giving a summary, but it's more than a summary. He's to me, it seems like he's saying, because the word here, O best of Brahma, he alone is self-luminous. He alone. Who do you think he's talking about? Mahapurusha? His, by his material energy, he creates. No, his mood has changed here. We can see even the meter got changed totally. And because his mood has changed here, this can be seen by the next verse, where he addresses Krishna as Krishna Sakha, as O breast of the Rishnis. So we can see that he's thinking about the threefold bending form. Therefore, we see that he's kind of saying that what all this that I have explained to you, that you have asked and I've explained to you, you know, that's not such a big thing. It made me think about in the 10th chapter, in the 10th chapter when after Krishna tells Arjuna the Chatushloki of the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna at that stage, he actually says, he believes. He says, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Param, Paramam Param. No, Pavitram Paramam Bhavam. Yes, you are. He's saying that how he accepts him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead after he says the Chatushloki. But then he asks Krishna, why don't you tell me all about your opulences? So Krishna goes into detail about the different opulences he expresses. You know, I am the seed-giving father, or I am Samaveda, I am the super soul. He gives all his opulences. But later on, after he gives all the opulences, it's interesting what he says. He says, let me see if I can see my notes here. Athava, he says, I can't see it here. He says, but what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So it's almost like he's kind of like dismissing his opulences by saying, you know, what's the big thing about all these opulences that I have? It's just with a single fragment. Eka Anshena, he said, just by a single fragment of mine, I pervade this entire universe. So what is the big thing about all these opulences? And this is the kind of mood that I perceive in this verse where Sutta Goswami is talking about. He alone, Krishna himself, is actually taking care of all this. He alone is self-luminous. In other words, he himself as a person is self-luminous. So the question arises, at least in my mind, was that why in the 12th canto, at this stage, why such a question is being asked by the sages? I remember Nagaraj Prabhu, when he was giving class, he said, it seems like we're going backwards. You know, we saw Krishna's smiling face, and now we're back to the Mahapurusha. So I wanted to address that today in my class. We see that in the first canto, starting from the first canto, Maharaj Parikshit asks question of Sukadev Goswami. And in the second canto, then Sukadev Goswami comes and he starts responding to him. The question that was asked by Maharaj Parikshit was, please let me know what a man should hear, chant, remember, and worship, and also what he should not do. Please explain this to me. And Sukadev Goswami, he responds, but one of the verse that I chose is, he says, this gigantic manifestation of the phenomenal material world as a whole is the personal body of the Absolute Truth, wherein the universal, resultant, past, present, and future of material time is experienced. Does everybody understand his response? Yeah? I don't. And then he further states the Virat Purushas, we're talking about Mahapurusha here. So he's talking about the Virat Purusha's face is the Brahmanas, his arms are the Kshatriyas, his thighs are the Vaishyas, and so on and so forth. He responds to him like that. And then again, the question is asked by Maharaj Parikshit, kindly describe how the Supreme Lord, who is all-powerful, engages his different energies and different expansions in maintaining and again winding up this world. So these are the questions that are being asked by Maharaj Parikshit, who is a born devotee. He's not a sadhaka. He has love of God. From the time he was born, he was thinking about Krishna. He's looking for Krishna. And so he's asking such questions. And then later on we see, this is right after, one after another. After Sukadeva Goswami has responded to Maharaj Parikshit, then he cites the questions that Narada Muni asks Lord Brahma, his father. So how do we know Narada Muni? We know Narada Muni. What does he do, Narada Muni? Does anybody remember the song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur? Narada Muni Bajaye Bina. You can sing along. Radhika Ramana Name Amani Name Amani Udita Hoy Bhakata Giya Same. That's Narada Muni. He's bajaying the veena. I mean, playing the veena. He plays the veena. And what happens when he plays the veena? The Lord himself in the holy name comes in front of the Vaishnavas. So that's Narada Muni. That's how we know Narada Muni, our spaceman. But here, Narada Muni asks these questions, and I'm like, wow. He's asking these questions. My dear father, please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is the background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is this all this being done? And Lord Brahma responds again, the mouth of the Virat Purusha is the generating center of the voice. And he goes on talking about Virat Purusha. It doesn't end. Then, right after that, we hear Sukadeva Goswami talking about Vidura. This is one canto after another. So this is in the third canto, and we see again the description about Vidura asking questions of Maitreya Muni. And again, the same kind of questions are being asked, and again, Maitreya responds to him in such ways. So the question is there, why these devotees are asking about, who are all great souls, who are devotees, who have bhava. Vidura, we know that he's such a great Vaishnava that Krishna didn't go and eat at Duryodhan, but he came to Viradhara's house to eat rukasap, like boiled vegetables, so to speak, as opposed to having a grand feast at Duryodhan's house. Primanjali's mother-in-law was just chanting that at our bhajans, the song about Vidura Gharakayo. Yeah? You weren't there at that time. Oh, it was at Shigrangi's house she was singing that. But yeah, Vidura is such a great soul, such a great Vaishnava who is full of bhava for Krishna, and yet we see that he asked this question. So why are these questions being asked when we know that the 10th canto is a smiling face, the Krishna's pastimes, and this Virata Rupa is seemingly inferior. Actually, the answer, one of the answers that I found, was again at our bhajans, singing this bhajan by Vallabhacharya. You know, Vallabhacharya was a great Vaishnava of the Supreme Lord. And he wrote a very nice song that is actually given in Dashrath Sutta Prabhu's, the red book that he compiled. So this song is given there. And the song is madhuram, is sweet, is literally sweet, because every other word in the song is madhuram, sweet. So it is sweet. Adharam madhuram vadanam madhuram nayanam madhuram hasitam madhuram. And it goes on and on and on. Madhuram. His lips are sweet, his speech is sweet, his eyes are sweet, his smile is sweet. All the stanzas are all about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his sweetness in his twofold bending form. Everything is sweet. His gait is sweet, his cows are sweet, everything is sweet. About who? Madhuradhipate, Akhilam, Madhuram, Madhuradhipate. Adhipatera. Actually, this word came in the, this word came yesterday when you were giving class. The emperor of sweetness. What about the emperor of sweetness? Akhila Madhuram. Everything is sweet. So everything is sweet about Krishna. And in the end, that was interesting. I noticed in the end, he says this verse. Gopa Madhura Gavo Madhura Yashtir Madhura Srishtir Madhura Srishti. He says the cows are sweet and the cowherd boys are sweet. His staff is sweet. And then he says his Srishti is sweet. So it seems to me that after he has said everything is sweet about Krishna, his bodily, about his body and about his friends and the gopis and everything, he's saying actually, you know what? His Srishti is also sweet. His creation is sweet. And he says, Dalitam Madhuram. His trampling is also sweet. So the fact is that everything is sweet. Everything. Even his trampling. We get trampled over by Krishna in many ways. And he says, that is also sweet. So the fact is that these devotees want to know about the Mahapurusha, the Kriya Yoga, the this thing, the that thing. Even at the 12th canto, they're asking, why is it? Because they find everything about Krishna as sweet. When somebody loves somebody, it doesn't make a difference. They love each and every part. When a boy falls in love with a girl, or a girl falls in love with a boy, they want to know everything about them, everything. The totality of everything, their past, their present, their future, what they're going to do, what they did, what, you know, they want to know everything. Recently, Vishakadasi was saying that, this was quite many years ago, she was telling us that she wanted to know how, when did Prabhupada learn Sanskrit, when and where. Now, is that question in any sense lesser than the question, when did Srila Prabhupada meet his spiritual master? Is it lesser in any way? No, because when we love somebody, when we love somebody, and somebody like Srila Prabhupada or somebody like Krishna or the Vaishnavas, when we love somebody, everything about them is meaningful. Everything about them is sweet. When I look at this picture of Srila Prabhupada showing, holding Dwarkadish's hand, how to write the alphabet, wouldn't it be nice to see a picture of who held Srila Prabhupada's hand while he was writing, while he was learning those alphabets? What is not, we do not want to hear about Srila Prabhupada? Everything from his childhood, his, you know, from the time he struggled in his grihastha life. We'd love to see, hear more about his grihastha life, what exactly happened. We know certain things, but we'd like to hear more in detail. That's because when we love somebody, we want to know everything about them. And I think if we actually understand that, then we can see that why these devotees, even at this stage, in the 12th canto, at the very end, this is the, almost the very end chapter, that the sages are asking that question about Kriya Yoga, about the description of Mahapurusha. They'd be asking about the sun. Sun, because Krishna comes as sun. So again, they're asking about Krishna. But to them, everything is sweet. So then the question arises that if that is so, then why is Sutta Goswami coming out saying almost as if dismissing that, you know, everything you have asked is, you know, Krishna is everything. And we see that after the 24th, the 25th, as I mentioned earlier, he starts meditating on the threefold bending form. He actually starts offering prayers. The next verse is actually offering prayers. He's talking to the sages, and then all of a sudden he starts offering prayers to Krishna in his two-arm, threefold bending form. Is there anything? Why is he doing? Because fact is that everything is madhuram, everything is sweet, but that doesn't mean that we may have some preference on what is what we like, our ishtadev. So everything is sweet, and yet something may be sweeter for us. We see again in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita when Krishna says to Arjun that atva kim atva something kim gyatena tava Arjuna. What is the use of me telling these opulences? After that, Arjun asks Krishna, could you show me your universal form? He asks him to show him the universal form. After Krishna told him, there's no use of this. He already is in Sakya Ras with Krishna. But he asks him, could you show me your universal form? And then after Krishna shows him the universal form, what does Arjun say? Thank you, but no thank you. I can't handle this anymore. Could you just please show me your beautiful form, your four-handed and then your two-handed? Could you please show me that? So he wants to know. Krishna shows him, and then he says, okay, that's enough. I'd rather just see this form of yours. So we see that a devotee he sees Krishna's every part of him, everything sweet, but he may have his own preference. However, as sadhakas, yes, we may have our preference, but as sadhakas, we need to hear everything. The difference between us and the sages asking, the sages are asking these questions out of love. Because they love Krishna, they want to know everything. Just like we love Srila Prabhupada and we want to know everything about him. But we may ask these questions, we may not want to ask these questions, but we should, even if we don't ask the questions, we should read as sadhakas all these descriptions about the Mahapurusha, about the Virat Rupa, about Kriya Yoga, about the fifth canto and the time of the universe and the hellish planets and everything. We need to hear them. And as we hear all these different descriptions, we will have this love that these sages are expressing by asking that question, or Narada Muni is asking those questions, or Vidura is asking those questions, or Maharaj Parikshit, all these devotees are asking these questions. Love will arise within our heart. So this is the end of my class today. If you have any questions or comments, please do so now. Yes, Mukunda Prabhu. Oh, I thought you were raising the question. I think I saw him raise his hand. You did? Oh, Pani Bhushan Prabhu. Thank you.
I got it. The main topic is that you, out of love of Krishna, then you want to know more about Krishna. But the topic that was presented in the evidence of the purport indicates him humble, one's humble position. Of course, anyone in any loving relationship is almost immediately humbled by that relationship. So is this a compatible synonym in your mind, that this loving relationship with Krishna is also embracing one's humble position in relation with Krishna?
Definitely, definitely. There's one bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he talks about, which is in our songbook, our usual songbook, Tumi Sarveshvareshvara Nanda Kumara. What is it, Krishna Keshavu? Brajendra Kumara. Tumare Tava Ichhaye Vishwa Srijana Samhara. In that song, he describes that you're everything, you're the creator, you do everything. And in the end, he says, he takes that humble position. By seeing how Krishna is the maintainer, he is the creator, he does everything from with his desire, everything is done. In the end, his conclusion was, in his relationship with Krishna, is humility. That's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur ends that. That I realize that you're my only protector. I'm your servant. So yes, that is the correct mood, is that that's what naturally that would happen. When we see somebody else's greatness, or when we love somebody and specifically see somebody's greatness, we become humble. And yes, so that naturally that will happen. And humility is where we're not thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about the other person, about our beloved. And so when we're thinking less about ourselves, we're giving less time in thinking about ourselves, but we're giving more time in thinking about our beloved, then naturally that is humility. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Well, I was also thinking that Krishna is so expert at reciprocation. Mm. In fact, he takes a humble position when someone is advanced in their attachment to him, mm-hmm. he becomes, in a way, their servant. But then there's a competition, mm-hmm. and that's indicative of, like, the extenuation of love, and in its twisted form here in the material. Another question is,
and that's madhuram, what you just said. It's just madhuram. The sweet exchanges between Krishna and his devotees is madhuram.
Yes, this is the next question. Mm-hmm. The term sweet, you know, is kind of poor word in English, but the depth of the madhuram is very, very, very deep. And there's more than just like sugar or honey, which it's translated as like honey, right? But it's not. It's behavior and fragrance. Everything, as you said, the king of sweet is sweet complete, right? Yeah. So maybe you could go a little deeper into the understanding of this word madhuram.
Well, I think Pani Vishnu Prabhu, you just kind of described it yourself. When I think about madhuram, and if I think more about sweetness, it's selflessness. You're willing to do everything. You're willing, it's not like saying, I love you, you're my sweetheart, and then I do whatever I want to and just say simple words. But it's surrender. It's surrender, but it's not surrender like surrender. You know, it's shelter. So you give yourself selflessly, and then there's shelter. That's one way. But then the beloved sees, like you said, the selflessness, the surrendered nature of the devotee, his constant praying and thinking and following again in the orders of the guru. It's not words, it's actually surrender. Selfless surrender to the spiritual master. When that is there, Krishna from within our heart, like in the Chaturshloki describes, Krishna with his torchlight of knowledge, he takes care and he cleanses our heart. And when he sees our heart being cleansed, naturally he reciprocates. He reciprocates from the very start. We surrender a little bit, and then he gives us more mercy. And then we surrender more, then he gives us more mercy. And that's the sweetness between a devotee and Krishna, or a devotee and the spiritual master, or a devotee and other Vaishnavas, that there is an exchange of selfless serving, which brings automatically humility when you're serving selflessly somebody else. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
So I was thinking of two things. One is that for the word Madhurya, in the Madhurya Kandambini, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gives an explanation of the word Madhurya. Madhurya Chestanam Akila Savasto Charuta, that Krishna, in every single thing he does, no matter if it has opulence or not, it is imbued with sweetness. Then they give an example that when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, obviously for a seven-year-old boy to lift up a mountain the size of Govardhan on his little finger, this can't be anything but the greatest kind of opulence. Who could understand how this could happen? But the Brijabasis then gave reasons why Krishna was able to lift Govardhan Hill. So in Braj, they tell one thing, Kacho makana bhala baro, kacho ko kisai, kishori ji ki kripa se giribara liyotai. So they're saying, when the question comes up, well, how did Krishna lift this hill? He's such a small boy. Then the elderly gopis got together and said, oh, because he's always stealing butter from our house, he's become very strong. And this is how he was able to do this. So then the cowherd boys, headed by Madhu Mangal, they chimed in and said, no. Because we all held our sticks up, we were helping him, this is how it happened. So then Lalita and Visakha began laughing. So Madhu Mangal asked, why are you laughing? So she said, no. Kishori ji ki kripa se giribara liyutai. That my Saki, Radhika, she was looking at Govardhan, and by her glance she was giving a threat that if you fall down and cause any problem, I'll burn you to ashes. So like this, even though this is such an opulent thing that Krishna is lifting Govardhan on the little finger of his left hand, all Brijabasis are imbued with sweetness, like Itti Idrik Swalila Birananda-kun we sing during Dhammadharastakam. So they saw, even in this opulent lila, how sweet is Krishna. So like this, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gave definition, how Krishna's very body, Swarup Aishwarya Madhurya Tattva Visej. In Krishna's body, Aishwarya Madhurya existing at the same time, perfectly. And it always manifests sweetness. And sometimes they discuss, beginning with like Srishti Lila, everything, because even when Ramananda Roy was talking to Mahaprabhu, though Ramananda Roy is Visakha, he knows what Mahaprabhu wanted to hear, he started speaking from Vanashram Dharma. So Jiva Goswami says this is called Kram Sopan Ritya, that nobody should really speak katha unless it has a kram. Kram means like a progression. So it should start with what is the creation, the opulence of Krishna, like in Bhagavatam, those categories. Atra Saga, Visaga, Shastanapos, should speak in a progression like this and then get to the sweetness of Krishna. So even Ramananda Roy did with Mahaprabhu.
Thank you, Guru. Thank you. Yes, Yamaraj.
Thank you, Mother, for your class. Your answer to Prabhuji's question, it was, saying to me, simple, but the description of surrender to the spiritual master, and because at first when you were speaking earlier, it seemed like to me you were comparing love for Krishna to a mundane, but your answer. It's like you were saying that your relationship with your spiritual master, whether if it's he chastises you, or he praises you, or whatever, it's always sweet, and so it's to get to that platform is in order to get to that platform, sometimes it might take many lifetimes, you know, so. But anyway, just to have that desire is pretty good. So.
Thank you. In the association of devotees, if we keep ourselves in the association of devotees, we all have sharp points, and if we come together, then we rub against each other, and in that way we get smooth. And therefore, by serving our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, everybody together, we can actually get purified. And it's Madhura. Isn't Devotees Association Madhura? Is that right? Yes, Devyanga Prabhu.
I don't know if you know anything about this, but it says in the verse, all living entities constitute the Kastuba gem on my Lord's chest. It just caught my ear and I was curious. Well, if you can say anything about that.
Well, previously that was brought, let's see, Nagaraj Prabhu, when he was giving class, that was brought as far as the Kastuba gem. It's in verse number 10, it said, upon his chest, this is the Mahapurusha, upon his chest, the Almighty, unborn personality of Godhead, bears the Kastuba gem, which represents the pure spirit soul, along with the Shivasa mark. So that's...
I missed that class.
Yeah, so it describes that, which it represents the pure spirit soul. And I guess that's what this is. That's all I know about it. Any other questions? Any of the ladies? Yes, Ragatmika? Yes.
You might be disappointed, but I was thinking of these two words, awesome and awful. Like you were saying, someone who loves somebody, they want to know everything about them. And you would describe some of the things as awesome in relation to Krishna as well. But a mundaner may see some of the things about Krishna to be awful. No, including some of the aspects of the creation or his incarnations or, you know, whatever. But it's interesting. They're both awe. It's one who is loving Krishna. One is in awe at the unlimited opulence and its, you know, qualities, etc. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, I mean, when Arjun was seeing Krishna's universal form, it was almost awesome and almost awful. And he didn't want to see that anymore. It was too scary. Actually, one of the things that I was thinking about, how Krishna wants to, how a person who loves somebody, they want to know everything or see everything. I was thinking about your son, Narad Muni. And the other day on his birthday, he was telling, he makes his videos. You know, nowadays kids, they put these videos on YouTube. So he was showing me and he was telling me, my mom, she likes to see everyone that I make. And why would she want to, I mean, they have nothing to do with Krishna. But they're just like innocent videos or something. But why does Narad Muni's mom want to see every one of them? Because she loves him. Because she wants to know, what is my son doing? Is that right, Ragatmika? So yes, this is how, hopefully one day, by the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, we can help each other to love this Madhuradhipater Akhilam Madhuram by serving our Guru, Param Guru, our Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada in the association of all the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. Yeah.